non-rockabotus must stop. I don't want to rock the boat. I want to sink it.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy, or are you going to bite?
Brett, delusional
is okay in your worldview. I'm an animal. You don't chastise chickens for being delusional. You don't chastise pigs for being delusional. So you calling me delusional using your worldview is perfectly okay. It doesn't really hurt. She hung up on me.
Yeah!
What?
Desperate times call for faithful men and not for careful men. The careful men come later and write the biographies of the faithful men, lauding them for their courage.
Go into all the world and make disciples. Not go into the world and make buddies. Not to make brosives.
Right.
Don't go into the world and make homies.
Right.
Disciples.
I got a bit of a jiggle neck. That's a joke, Pastor.
No, when we have the real message of truth, we cannot let somebody say they're speaking truth when they're not.
Take an amazing journey to a place that will blow your mind and move your heart so you will never be the same again.
They drag Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities, shouting, "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. And Jason has received them, and they are all acting against the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus." What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Apologia Radio. You can get more at apologiastudios.com. That's APOLOGIA studios.com. There's tons of episodes there, after shows, Apologia Academy, Apologia TV, all kinds of stuff. Get signed up for all access. You can partner with us in ministry, make everything we do possible. Be partners with us, and you get all the additional content. Bonson U is being worked on right now. It is essentially underway. We hope to release that very, very soon. You guys will get access to over 1,900 lectures, seminary courses, sermons. You also be able to get all the video only at apologiastudios.com. Bonson U, pray for it. It's coming. It's going to be free. I mean, it's a high-level seminary education for freezy with one of the best Christian philosophers and apologists in the history of the Christian church. I'm Jeff the Coleman and Ninja. That's Luke the Bear right there.
What is up?
And that is Joy the Girl right there.
Hello.
Again on Apologia Radio. I love this. I love it. Back with Joy.
No Christmas music today?
No Christmas music today, because I think the episode that we're doing today is a little more hardcore. I want this
find
to
some
like
hardcore Christmas music.
We could find some like metal Christmas
you play
music
some
or something.
AVR Christmas.
That's
Luke's,
true.
Luke's like, find some.
We'll find
I
some.
I have some.
Maybe I'll look for it.
I don't think that's a viable excuse, Jeff.
Yes, we'll find some. That way it'll last the year long. It'll be worth it. So just a quick thing. We have a lot to talk about today. We are going to talk about the Supreme Court. We're going to talk about the 18 states now who are involved in the legal battle at the Supreme Court. We're going
to
talk
about... they were supposed to have responded with...
I think by
right
Thursday
now.
At 3 is like the initial...
I thought it was next Thursday?
This Thursday,
it's
I believe.
Today,
I
yeah. Think, so it's 3 Eastern, which is
yeah,
30
so
minutes ago.
Yeah, so Friday, they were expecting like by Friday, they were for sure going to get something because it's a timely issue. So here's the thing. I have to say this, and this is absolutely undeniably stupid and ridiculous. Shame on you, Google. Shame on you, YouTube. Absolutely, absolutely undeniably stupid. And... tyrannical. We have we're up against something right now on this episode. I want to just say this to YouTube. If you try to pull this video down, all we're doing today is reporting the news, which should still be allowed to talk about what's happening in the world. Just to announce it, just to say, hey guys, this is happening. You know, it's not like I'm reporting the news about like what I had for dinner last night, something that's like, you know, irrelevant like that. Don't even remember what I had for dinner last night. But I'm reporting something that's happening at the highest court in our nation, the Supreme Court. And I don't know, just 18 sovereign states that, you know, participated in this and are actually arguing at the Supreme Court, with the Supreme Court, to exercise their original jurisdiction to hear their case. So, you know, news like that, you know, things like that. People might be saying, Jeff, what are you talking about? Why is it stupid? Well, I'm going to show you. So let me just go ahead and pull it up here. Oh, I took it down because my wife called and it rings. Hey, how do you take that off so like it doesn't just start screaming through your...
There should be
There you go. Hang on. I'm gonna pull this up, and then I'm gonna bring our guest on, because I know he'd probably love to talk about this too, because he's highly involved in media. And okay, I think it's just about ready. What is going on? Here you go. Okay.
I think maybe you just discovered the way that we can just fly under the radar, is we just talk about what we had for dinner last night.
Right.
Just talk about it.
Yes.
I had fraud burgers for dinner last night.
Was there a fraud burger?
And then,
was that a new restaurant called The Courthouse? They are supremely good.
This is, yep. We're going to create our own language.
Our own language, exactly. All right, so let's invite onto the show. You guys are really going to be blessed by the show today. I'm confident one of my favorite people, favorite pastors, and a good friend of ours, Toby Sumter, pastor of Christ Church in Moscow, Idaho. Toby, welcome to Apologia Radio, brother.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Luke. Good to hear your voice. It's a little faint, but I hear your voice, Joy. Good to be back on Apologia.
I'm quiet.
She's just a quiet little thing. Yeah. All right. We're gonna jump right into it, Toby, and we're gonna get lots of time to talk with you today. I also want to talk about the book that you have out right now. We'll get to that near the end of the show.
Yes.
So I said that YouTube and Google are acting in a very stupid fashion and manner. I said that this is ridiculous, and I'm gonna show you why. So Isaac, show the screen right now. I'm gonna show everybody this. This came out yesterday or the day before. Was it Monday or Tuesday? Can't remember. Last 48 hours, this came out from YouTube. Yesterday was the safe harbor deadline for the U.S. presidential election, and enough states have certified their election results to determine a president-elect. Given that, we will start removing any piece of content uploaded today or any time after that misleads people by alleging that widespread fraud or errors changed the outcome of the 2020 U.S. presidential election, in line with our approach towards historical U.S. presidential elections. For example, we will remove videos claiming that presidential candidate won the election due to widespread software glitches or counting errors. We will begin enforcing this policy today and will ramp up in the weeks to come. As always, news coverage and commentary on these issues can remain on our site if there's sufficient education, documentary, scientific, or artistic content. So we just want to announce to YouTube right now that we plan to be very artistic in this episode. Very artistic. we plan to love science, and we are documenting things that are happening in our world, and we're trying to educate people as to the news, what's happening around us. So that's really what we're going to be doing today. So we're just going to be talking about what's happening, and I don't want the tyrants over on YouTube to be taking this down. It's time to start working on other platforms, let me tell you. Yes, I am looking at Rumble right now. I just wish some of these other platforms would actually do something good. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's leave Facebook and YouTube and let's go over this platform. You get over there and it's just not good. Why can't we have something that's good and just a better option?
Yeah.
Like Parler. Man, I'm still trying to figure that thing out. It's just not very user-friendly. And so, yeah, anyway, I know people are migrating over there. I'm not planning on leaving Facebook or YouTube until they kick me off, but I will be putting Apologia stuff on those other platforms as well. Let's talk about it. YouTube telling you we're going to remove any content that alleges that a presidential candidate won or lost because of fraudulent votes or all the rest. Haven't we seen enough? Look, I got to say this ahead of time because I know it just comes up. People in the comments just don't know us. They make comments. You got to understand, I consider myself a libertarian in many ways. I am not beholden to any political party. We're not like Republican, Trump. As a matter of fact, we got in so much trouble. I can't even tell you how much trouble we got in when Trump went for his first election. We were very leery and very much like, I'm not sure. And we were the ones saying, hey, couldn't we do someone better? Like, I grew up with Trump. I know like what he used to believe. I'm not sure we can trust him. We were vilified, absolutely vilified. So just want that as the background. My concern here is in terms of integrity, the law, those sorts of things. And so when we're bringing up these questions about, like, you know, what's this truck driver doing coming from another state to deliver ballots to another state, you
with
know,
two tall gaylords?
with gaylords. Why are people being kicked out, not allowed to observe the vote? Why are we putting why are there photocopied ballots, you know, that are being counted? Like, they aren't even folded. They weren't sent to anybody. They're just photocopied ballots. Why are those going through the machines? Like, I think we should be able to ask those questions, and I think if you are a Democrat or a Republican or a Libertarian or whatever, you should care about that, because there is no republic, there is no freedom, no liberty in a nation when your vote isn't real. Or when people can can take over an election. So this should be newsworthy, and at least you can start talking about it, asking questions. All right, guys, go ahead. I'm going to pull up some more stuff here.
Well, I think, just to go on what you were saying, I actually was just listening to a sermon that Doug gave recently. I don't know. I think it was – I don't know when it was, but within the last week. And he was saying, like, this shouldn't be Republican versus Democrat. This shouldn't be your team versus the other team. This should be a matter of, like you just said, like, truthful, honest elections.
Right.
That's what this is all about. Like, that's what we're, what we want, is for honesty and for cheaters to be punished. It doesn't matter what side you're on. You should want cheaters to be punished.
That's right. That's right.
I think the one of the real telling things is just the cancel thing. So if people who care about truth, it doesn't matter where the truth comes from. It's the truth. But as soon as you, you start saying you can't share that perspective, and or we're going to kick you off our platform, everybody says, wait a second, I thought you care about the truth.
Right. That's right. And we are living in some strange, strange times, guys. I mean, just, I mean, look, you don't have to be a conspiracy theorist to say, hey, it's a little strange that before the election, like, the Hunter Biden story gets banned, no one's allowed to even talk about it.
And now all of a sudden it's in the open.
Yeah, you can't say anything about it, like, right before the election. Like, well, why is that? Like, why can we not report news, or why are we afraid to do stories or to have discussions on these platforms surrounding, you know, was there illegal voting? Maybe there wasn't. You know, let's examine it. Can we talk about that? You know, maybe there were fraudulent votes you can just point to and say, yeah, that's straight up fraud. That's a lack of honesty and integrity. That's cheating. We shouldn't be concerned about, you know, whether we can talk about these things. So there's just a lot happening right now. I think that should cause us all a lot of alarm. We're gonna go through a lot of this today. We're gonna talk to Pastor Toby about resistance to tyranny as a Christian virtue. But let's just report on the news. Some of you guys have already seen this. It's relatively fresh. Oscar-nominated Umbrella Academy star Elliot Page announces he is transgender. So if you can show the screen here, Isaac, it's Variety. That's the website, variety.com. They've already changed her name to Elliot Page. And so they have a picture of Elliot Page, who actually was a really beautiful, is a really beautiful woman when she's, you know, feminine, looking like a lady sort of a thing. But Elliot Page here, I want to announce to everybody, still actually has a vagina. And this is a woman. And we're already placating to this syndrome.
We used to call it lady bits on this show.
Yeah.
We can say lady bits.
It's 2020. I think you know what?
I'll use the official name or the apology.
I was like, quite a welcome back.
It's
quite
a welcome back.
Lots changed.
We'll use lady bits if it makes you more comfortable. Lady bits. Ellen Page. Still has lady bits, and it said, look at how this article just plays into this. Elliot Page, the Oscar-nominated star of Juno and Netflix's The Umbrella Academy, has announced he is transgender. Elliot, formerly known as Ellen Page, that's like the artist formerly known as Prince, right, sort of a thing, addressed his social media followers saying, hi, friends. I want to share with you that I am trans. My pronouns are he, they, and my name is Elliot. I feel lucky to be writing this, to be here, to have arrived at this place in my life. I feel overwhelming gratitude for the incredible people who have supported me along this journey. I can't begin to express how remarkable it feels to finally love who I am enough to pursue my authentic self. I've been endlessly inspired by so many in the trans community. Thank you for your courage, your generosity, and ceaselessly working to make this world a more inclusive and compassionate place. I will offer whatever support I can and continue to strive for a more loving and equal society. Thank you, you now cis white gender male, male gender guy. I mean, think about in terms of like where we're at today with intersectionality and critical race theory and all the rest. You put those things together, and I'm thinking for a lady like Ellen, maybe jumping into like being a white male in the West is not the wisest decision to make, because now you've just become an enemy,
right. Yeah,
Ellen. And it just, all of this if you'd have done this in the 90s, just the 90s, wasn't that long ago. Some of you guys watching the show, you're like, that's when I was born. Wasn't that long ago at all. And was it you?
You were late 80s.
Was it?
I was late 80s.
Was it you?
I had to think for a second. I knew it was late 80s.
Not a 90s,
even
baby.
At that time period, this would have been vilified, and people would have said, why is this major platform just immediately diving into adopting this delusion and now speaking for her, saying he, and using the name Elliot? So I think this shows, I think, the desperate need for the light of the gospel. But Toby, can you comment a little bit on Ellen Page and the fact that she still has lady bits?
Well, I don't know about that, but my initial response was that I was coming out and wanted to let everybody know that I am COVID immune, and I'm really, really thankful and proud of myself for identifying now as completely COVID immune, and I want to thank everyone for bringing me to this place. I'm grateful to be here, and I think every.
Do you have a particular COVID pronoun you'd like me to use, or?
it's healthy. You just call me healthy Pastor Toby.
Healthy Toby.
I'm completely immune.
Right on.
It's absolutely. It's just more of the same. This is basically. It used to be that. People. I don't know. Maybe I'm going to get in trouble, but wore ripped jeans and got tattoos and did something like that to be cool and edgy, and now it's I'm going to play with my I'm going to pretend to be a gender that I'm not. I'm going to pretend to be a sex that I'm not, and these people are just incredibly lost.
Yes.
And I think. On the one hand, it's hilarious. It's like, it's somebody denying gravity. I identify as someone who can fly. No, you don't. No, you can't. It's absolutely ridiculous. And on the other hand, these are, as you noted, she's a woman made in the image of God.
That's right.
And was made to be beautiful, made to cultivate life, made to nurture life. And it's incredibly sad that we live in a day and age where that is not honored. And, every time someone does this, one of the other things you ought to think about is she's not a man. She can't be a man because God didn't make her to be a man. But also because it takes a lot more to be a man. And vice versa. I mean, Bruce Jenner is still Bruce Jenner in a dress. And he can't be a woman because it takes a whole lot more to be a woman. And so every time one of these, cross-dressers comes out, which is what they are, it's just souped up cross-dressing. We should, it's a massive middle finger to real women and real men.
Yes.
And ultimately to the one whose image they bear. But all of that, this is a Romans 1 thing. I mean, you reject the creator and you begin to worship parts of the creation and your foolish heart is darkened. And you do and say crazy things. And so we live in a culture that we are the demon possessed man in the tombs. Like, that is who we are. We can't be bound. We are harming ourselves. We are in a suicidal, just cycle. And now we're in the process of trying to literally almost kill ourselves with our panic over sickness and the government overreach and all of we're literally killing ourselves, deforming ourselves, defacing ourselves, destroying ourselves. We are the demon possessed man in the tombs. You can't reason with this culture. The only thing that will do it, and these people are, they're crazy. They're absolutely insane. And it should really conjure up a certain amount of pity. And what they need is Jesus to drive their demons out. Mm-hmm. They need Jesus to cast their demons out. That's what we need in this culture. We need Jesus to cast our demons out so that we can sit again clothed in our right minds. And it will take, it's only Christ, only Jesus. And, that's what's on full display for us here.
That's right. So I want to pass this over to Joy. Joy, I want to ask you a question about this in terms of like men trying to pretend to be women. I find it offensive and disrespectful to real women everywhere. But it's interesting because when we talk about this in the current context, a lot of times evangelicals, Christians will typically sort of be afraid to simply confront the sin in it because they say, I just want to love the person. Where I think we have to work on both tracks. You have to sort of alarm somebody into their status. Like, this is insane. This is, like you said, Pastor Toby, you said this is cross-dressing souped up. This is sinful. This is offensive to God. This is disrespectful to men and women everywhere. Well, I think we can be honest about this situation and confront the sin, but also can be concerned for the person's soul. And I think if you're concerned for the person's soul, you will say the truthful things. You'll be honest. Mm-hmm. And I think, a lot of times this evangelical methodology of saying, well, don't be too hard in your denunciations of the sin because you want to love the sinner. Well, that methodology has got us into an interesting place, right? As though it was either or. It's not. It's both. It's got us into an interesting place where I'd say a generation ago, homosexuality and this sort of behavior was illegal across the United States of America. It was illegal by law, legislated. Right. You weren't allowed to do this sort of a thing. You would have been put into exile in a community where you cross-dressed or behaved in this sort of a manner. So how's our methodology going for us, guys? How's hiding that light working out for us? I think we have to make sure we tell the truth, always tell the truth, and also love the person.
Right.
Joy, I find it, I'm not losing sleep over it, but I do find it offensive when someone like a man like Bruce Jenner puts on a dress and pretends to be a woman. I find it offensive to someone like my wife. You don't have what it takes to be her, and you don't have the gifts that she has. I find it offensive. Like yesterday, I was driving down Rural Road, and I'm with my wife, and I got my kids in the back. I'm driving down Rural Road, and there is this massive, beefy dude, and he's wearing a dress, walking on a public sidewalk, going down rural. And I'm thinking to myself, this is an affront to beautiful, lovely, wonderful, gifted women everywhere. And you have a guy like this pretending to do what or to be what you are. It's what I think being a woman is a gift. It's a gift from God, and it's so special. And I find it highly offensive that men would try to pretend to do what you can do.
Well, and I guess that's the point, is that not according to our world, but the most you can do if you're a man is pretend to be a woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not how our world thinks. Toby is right. There is an element of reason that has checked out. And this is so wrapped up in identity and emotions and how you feel deep down, and we'll just continue to see now that gender and sexuality operate on a spectrum, we'll continue to see people who came out. I mean, even, we're talking about the 90s, but even people who came out as homosexuals in the 90s are now discovering non-binary and now being trans is different than just wanting to be the opposite gender. So in a weird way, which again, let's just keep in mind that we've lost an element of reason here.
What is happening?
I don't know. But so in a weird way, Ellen Page knows that she's not going to become a man. She's going to become a trans man.
Mm.
And that's different, but also she does feel like she's a man.
Mm-hmm.
If you think that you are trapped in the wrong body, that used to be considered something that you should go talk through with people.
Mm-hmm.
You should, if you're feeling that way, because you can't mutilate yourself or put on men's clothing and become a man. That's not how it works. And you don't have to necessarily be afraid to say things like that. When Ellen or Elliot came out as trans, she made it very clear that there is intense and inherent violence done against you if you're a trans person. She did acknowledge her privilege as well in the statement that she made, because she's a famous celebrity that has been the voice of queer people for a long time now, ever since she came out as a lesbian. I don't know. It's been a while.
Yeah.
But she came out and she said, for those of you that hate trans people, like, I'm coming for you, and I'm going to continue to work to make the world an inclusive place. So to that, the Christian should not be saying, okay, we want to all, at least we'll all feel okay, because the feelings is what caused this. Mm-hmm. Like, letting someone just feel the way that they want to feel is what makes a woman think that they could become a man. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's very easy, like you're talking about it being offensive even. And like, yeah, I don't know if I'm personally offended, but it's just, it, male and female now is so, it's almost a little bit meaningless in a world where people just have endless amounts of money and never plan on having children and don't believe that marriage is an actual binding institution. Like, mm-hmm. it's kind of like whatever, like nobody has any roles now anyway. Mm-hmm. So we sort of just like scrubbed clean both genders,
yeah.
In a way that just kind of makes it like, well, what do you feel today? Or maybe today you're no gender. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe you don't. Or maybe you just, maybe you have a gender, but you have no like sexual attraction to anyone and you're an asexual. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of anything meaningful about your biology has kind of just been like scrubbed clean.
Yep.
I was gonna say, I mean, the movie that kind of launched her career or made her famous was a movie about her being pregnant.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
it's like, you know, and I'm thinking even like of Bruce Jenner, like he became famous because he was a man,
right?
You know, and so these people are just, it's like they ride this wave of fame, they make money, and then it's like, I'm not gonna do that anymore.
Well, and that's what, like, and you know, she for to our world, her recognizing her privilege is enough, but let's just recognize that she doesn't have any, necessarily have any responsibilities as a man or a woman,
yeah.
Like, and this is how, these are the people that we look to, people that are totally out of touch with like even just something as simple as what living a normal human life looks like. But then they totally, there is no like male, there is no female. You just are kind of like expressing the best version. It's all about just being as actualized as you can possibly be. And somewhere along the way in this journey, she discovered that she would be more actualized as a male. I don't know how she came to this conclusion, but it's really, I mean, it is, it's sad. Toby also mentioned killing ourselves. I'm pretty sure there's a statistic that talks about like 40% of trans people attempting suicide at some point
after the transition,
right? Yeah. And so this is not a societal, we don't need to put a societal spin on that and say that people are hating people to death.
Yeah.
There is a lot of upset going on in the mind of a person that thinks they're a different gender, and now that we've stopped acknowledging that, this particular group of people is trying to kill themselves.
We support it.
Right.
Yeah. And
when they kill themselves, we blame the wrong person and we almost like martyr the person, even though they were suffering and nobody had the courage to just say,
I want to help.
Yeah. Do you think that maybe, you are very, and I don't say confused lightly. I'm trying to say that in the most like sympathetic way, empathetic way possible. But do you think that you're very, very confused and you need some help and
help
don't
you? Yeah, exactly. that used to be sort of the methodology. Let me help you through this. All right, so we're going to move on from this point to the next stuff that's very, very newsworthy with Pastor Toby, the bear and the girl. And I want to start this off though with a fun fact. Fun fact is I spent a lot of time with Toby. I've been to his house, have a meal at his house. His wife is a wonderful cook. And
I haven't been to his house yet.
And
Hashtag just saying.
Yeah, just saying. Maybe someday. But it's actually Toby's fault, maybe his wife's fault, maybe equally together, that I am I have about probably 5-6 extra pounds on me now I'm carrying at all times that I can't seem to shake loose. And it's because of what's the name of the dairy place you went to in Washington? What's the name of it again?
Oh, Tillamook.
Tillamook.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They had like, do you want some ice cream, Jeff? I was like, you're speaking my love language.
It's Toby's
and,
fault.
And they introduced me to Tillamook. What's it called? What's the flavor? Mississippi Mud Flap or something?
Mud Pie.
That's a mullet.
No.
Mud Pie.
No. What's it called? It's like an insane flavor. It's the one when I offered you, we were on mission, and I was like, would you like some ice cream?
Yeah.
And I gave you like
– giant bowl.
And you're like,
do you want more?
The bowl was like overflowing, and I was like, would you like a second bowl? Because I'm having my third. So anyway, fun fact, it's Toby's fault that I'm gaining weight.
That's called glory. That's called glory.
Glory. Glory.
There's another G word I think the Bible uses.
He's like, I've seen Jeff. I think there's a different word you're looking for. All right. So just quick things in the news. I'd like to hear all of us sort of comment on this. Back to what I was saying at the beginning, the censoring of content happening cross-platform right now. Facebook, you name it, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, they're all silencing people who are just having these kinds of conversations. But we are in the midst right now of an election that isn't technically over yet. Even though the election was on November 3rd, immediately reports started coming out and witnesses, hundreds and hundreds of signed affidavits started coming out. We have video footage now, all kinds of things. We have questions about Dominion software and all the rest and these foreign companies now as part of our election process. All this has been happening. Everybody knows. You probably wore out about it. Or maybe you didn't know it was still going on. If you're on these major platforms, you may not know that there's this thing going on in the background that's pretty intense right now. Just a quick word here. I think right now, no matter what happens, it's a tough spot for our nation. I'll just say that briefly here. I'm going to play this stuff about the Supreme Court so you guys can learn about that. 18 states right now involved in this complaint at the Supreme Court. They have the original jurisdiction because it is a constitutional issue. There is no other court to go to when it's a state versus a state. You can't go to lower courts. The Supreme Court has original jurisdiction. That's the claim. I think we're in a bad spot because let's say something happens and the Supreme Court rules in the favor of these states who are making the complaint. They said, yes, these states, these battleground states, didn't even follow their own legislation.
Right.
The Constitution says that it has to be done legislatively. So when they change the rules, say a judge changed the rules, or anybody changed the rules close to the election and said, yeah, you can do this kind of voting ballot. You don't need to have a signature. That wasn't legislated in the state, and so it's illegal vote. So if the Supreme Court, based on the Constitution, says, yeah, we agree, they couldn't do that. And so, yeah. So let's just say something crazy happens, and let's say that Trump is elected for a second term. I think we're in for some trouble. I mean, you've got groups of people this last year that showed that they're willing to burn down cities and murder people and hurt people. This was just back November. This article is from November 3rd. You can show this, Isaac. Antifa leader warns Trump, we're armed, concede by Sunday, or we retaliate. Well, that was like November 25th, so shows you kind of the stones that Antifa has. It says, and Adam Rahuba, who claims to be lead a violent mob of Antifa leftists in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, warned Trump and his supporters that armed thugs will target conservative areas if their demands are not met. So I just wanted to show that just in terms of, like, we all know that if this goes that direction, there could be a space of difficulty in America. Now, I've had a lot of conflict with Antifa locally. They know who we are. They've been out at the abortion mill. And I could say, I'm not too worried. Okay, let me just say that. Not too worried. I've seen the general, you know, kind of Antifa person in the valley. And I'll just say that Arizona.
I mean, it helps when you don't, like, vacillate on the importance of gun ownership.
Exactly.
As well.
I mean, I'll just say right now, less worried. You're in a state with a lot of conservatives who actually hold to a proper worldview in terms of like defending their families and things like that. And there's a lot of guns in Arizona, and I just don't think it'd be wise in Arizona.
It would not be.
Be that as it may, it could be difficult. Other side of this coin is Biden does go through. There is an inauguration day where he gets inaugurated as the next president. I think that you also now have to contend with the tens and tens and tens of millions of Americans who many of them believe this was fraudulent. And they say, I can point to evidence and witnesses and testimony and this fact. And so
I believe you mean they all had fraud burgers.
Yes, fraud burgers at that famous new restaurant called the Courthouse.
The Supreme.
I think I'll take the number one, the Supreme, please. So either way.
Mashed potatoes means corrupt.
God has not given us a spirit of fear, and we're not to live with anxiousness and fear. We're to rejoice in the Lord always. But I think you can see what's on the horizon, and it's not looking so good for the moment. And it's time to really, as Christians, preach the gospel in the midst of this. But I want to play this clip here, and then I'd like commentary from you all, especially you, Pastor Toby. So this is from today. 18 states tell Supreme Court they must take Texas election case. And this is Jay Sekulow Live. This is the most recent video they uploaded. So they describe the process and what's happening.
The state of Texas filed a bill of complaint with original jurisdiction to the Supreme Court of the United States. What that means is the case does not go through the district court, the Court of Appeals, and then to the Supreme Court. It starts at the Supreme Court. That's because the state of Texas has filed a lawsuit against the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, the state of Georgia, the state of Michigan, and the state of Wisconsin. So those cases have original jurisdiction. That was filed Tuesday. Yesterday, the president intervened, filed a motion to intervene. Intervention hasn't been granted yet, because he's what's called the real party in interest. You know, it impacts him. None of these cases call for a determination of the outcome of the election, by the way. But that was filed yesterday, a motion to intervene on behalf of the president. And then about the same time, maybe an hour before, 17, maybe 18 states now have filed friend of the court briefs, either supporting Texas totally or, in Arizona's case, saying, look, we're not going to get to the merits, but we think it's important that you hear this case. And we believe your jurisdiction state to state is mandatory, not optional.
If we go back to Arizona versus California, a decision taken in 2020, this year, Justice Thomas and Justice Alito both agreed that the Supreme Court's original jurisdiction in this particular case is mandatory. It's not optional. So that would mean that the Supreme Court has to take this case, has to consider this case, and has to decide this case. Now, it's not clear that a majority of justices of the United States Supreme Court agree with that position. But I think Justice Thomas and Justice Alito have the superior constitutional argument, and it's very, very important that the state of Arizona has filed a brief in support of that notion. And we will have to wait and see whether the Supreme Court majority agrees with that. But there is the status right now,
just to sort of condense this from what I understand about this, because this is a dispute between states. So Texas formally does this. The other states sort of jump into this with them, agreeing, yes, that's a serious situation. We want in with this today or to support it. Mm-hmm. Here's the deal. Texas basically says about these battleground states, it says that they had voting procedures that were put into place and allowed that were actually against the law in their states. Yeah. So there's official legislation, say, in the state of Pennsylvania. Well, shortly before the election, they had officials or judges who, and this happened in other states too, who basically said, we'll allow this kind of voting, we'll allow this kind of thing, here's how you can process this. Well, the problem is that there's actually legislation on the books in those states that was determined by legislators, the way the law is supposed to be created, that says you're not allowed to do that, but they did it anyways. So they violated their own state laws. They violated the U.S. Constitution. Mm-hmm. So this is actually not, and you notice Trump was originally on this. This is not like the Trump campaign, you know, with a frivolous lawsuit. This is the state saying, as a sovereign state of Texas, we have something that's impacting us here. If you violated your own election laws on the election of the president, it impacts Texas. It impacts Arizona. Right. It impacts Georgia. It impacts the rest of the country. When one state does something against the law in a presidential election, the other states have an interest. That's what Texas's case is. And they're right. All the states absolutely. That are on there are absolutely right. This is not a local election. It's the election of the president. This is like federal government sort of situation. So Texas files this. Other states glob on. They say, yep, I'm in that too. You're absolutely right. The Supreme Court has what's called original jurisdiction. In other words, the argument is, and this is, again, the Supreme Court justices, two of them agree with this. They had a recent thing where they described this. This is a shall, not may. This is a Constitution saying you shall, not you might, you may. It's a shall. It's an ought according to law, where the Supreme Court actually has jurisdiction here because it's one sovereign state versus another sovereign state, and it's the only place you can go is not to Texas's courts. Right. It's Texas. You can't go to Michigan's court. It's Michigan. The original jurisdiction is the Supreme Court, and that's a shall issue. Now, the good thing is on this dispute is that it was given a number, it's given a hearing, and the Supreme Court told the other states they must respond. Mm-hmm. That's good news in terms of getting to the bottom of it. From what I understand, Texas is not alleging things in terms of like we saw this voter fraud, here's this witness sort of a thing. Texas is essentially saying this happened and it violates their own state laws.
Yeah.
Now, the Constitution says that only the legislators can determine the election laws in that state, and it has to be uniform. It wasn't uniform. Sometimes you had varying rules in the same state, in different counties. You're not allowed to do that according to the United States Constitution. So the states are all saying this was violated. And so the Supreme Court, from what I understand, can essentially kick it back to the state and say, well, now your legislature has to actually determine its own electors because this was done illegally. Or it goes to the higher House of Representatives at the federal level where they make the determination. And from what I understand, if that is the case, you have more weighted with the Republican than you do the Democrats, and so it could just go to Trump. But
at the states and federal level.
Yeah, at the state and federal level. So here's the thing. They're not asking them to throw away particular votes. They're just saying they broke the law of their own state. The Constitution says they can't do that. No legislation was made that allowed that to happen. To the contrary, there was legislation that said it was illegal. So a judge in Pennsylvania cannot just say willy-nilly, hey, we're going to let this kind of ballot work. Doesn't work that way. Has to be legislated, and it's a big deal. It's a big deal. So
that's how the law stays the law.
Yes.
That's how everyone knows. That's how in 20 years when there's new people, they know what's legal.
Right.
Yeah.
So that stuff isn't just like written down on a sticky note.
Yeah.
And like, oh, I'm sure the next guy will read all this.
Yeah.
He'll understand.
Right.
That's the point of it, is that it's objective and it stands.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, just to clarify what you're saying, because it's so important this has to go straight to the Supreme Court. Like you were saying, like, it can't go, that's the law. Like, it has to go directly to the Supreme Court.
Shall is the word.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But why that's so important is because, you know, you see some of these other cases that Trump's team has put forth. There might be a lower circuit court who just says,
yeah,
we're not going to see this.
Right.
You know, so that just jumps over all of that nonsense and goes right to the top. So
that's right.
Yeah.
Toby?
The specific section of the Constitution is Article 2, Section 1, Clause 2. And the Constitution says, each state shall appoint in such manner as the legislature thereof may direct a number of electors equal to the whole number of senators and representatives. And it's that clause in particular, in such manner as the legislature thereof may direct, that that the Texas suit is challenging. And so I think it's important to distinguish the idea that the federal government does not have the power to decide the election. And we don't want that. What we want is the Supreme Court to uphold the Constitution, and the Constitution requires each state to follow their own laws on the books.
Right.
And it's clear that actually every state their legislature could decide to choose their electors in different ways if they wanted to. That's not prohibited by the U.S. Constitution, but it has to decide what it's going to do, and then it has to follow what it has decided to do. And it can't play around with that and play games with that. And so I think it's a pretty fascinating case, and I'm really curious to see what happens.
Me too. Me too. I think, you know, people might be asking, it's really interesting too. It's, I think it demonstrates how the 21st century evangelical church has done, I think we can all admit, a poor job of educating people properly in the biblical worldview. People, as we've been talking about this recently, have said things like, hey, why can't you guys just stick to preaching and theology? Why are you talking about politics? So it's a very truncated view mm-hmm. of the Christian mm-hmm. worldview. All politics is legislated morality. Exactly. If it's a moral issue, it is a Jesus issue.
Yep, exactly.
what did Jesus come to do? To save people from their sins. Yeah. That means that he's concerned with sins. And if something is immoral in society, Jesus came to save people from it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are legislating things that are sinful, let me tell you, the Christian church has something to say about it. And if you think that the Christian church doesn't, I would say you need to stop reading the Message Bible or something. I'm sure there's lots of things I could say to that. But I think we also have a very, very poor view of the authority and lordship, the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what just what does Jesus have authority over? Well, in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, it says he has all authority in heaven and on earth. That includes over these issues. The Christian church has something to say here. We have a prophetic voice to the government to say, have integrity, do what is right before God, love your neighbor, and don't allow cheating and fraud. You see, this is what gets missed here. We stick to preaching, not to politics. No, this is a love your neighbor issue.
Exactly.
Do we understand that? This is loving your neighbor. I would say if you don't speak into these issues as a Christian explicitly, as a Christian representing Jesus, then you're not loving your neighbor. Because here, look, take for example just something we've talked about before, but it's important. Joe Biden was asked before the election in one of his things where he did come out of the basement for a little bit. He's, you know, standing like 50 feet away from this woman, and she's asking a question while, you know, she's masked. And she asked about the fact that Roe v. Wade is in danger because now you have Barrett on the court. And, you know, what if Roe v. Wade is overturned? And he admits something that all of the pro-life industry needs to understand. Apparently they understand it. The Democrats do. He said, you know, if she does overturn it, they do overturn it. We'll just have to make Roe v. Wade law. That's an admission that Roe versus Wade is not law. It's a court opinion. Now, court opinions can be good because they can be consistent with the Constitution and they should be upheld. But some court opinions are actually fallacious, erroneous, and unconstitutional.
And not law.
And not law, because it has to be legislated. Congress creates legislation. Now, here's the deal. Someone says, stay out of politics, just stay with theology, keep preaching. Well, here's a guy in politics who's telling you he's going to give Roe versus Wade the force of law, which will murder children. So, should I stay out of that as a Christian? Should I stay out of that realm, out of that sphere? Or does Jesus have something to say to Joe Biden when he talks about murdering children? I think he does. I think we all know that he does, and that's why we should speak into it. So I think this gets us to the foundation of the discussion that I wanted to have today in terms of like Christian resistance to tyranny as a virtue.
I think this will actually bring us right into that conversation. You know, for all those that we hear constantly saying, Romans 13, do they not think that Romans 13 is a theological passage?
Mm.
Right?
Right.
Like, that's the one we hear the most when it comes to getting involved with politics. So, like, there's theology and the rest of the Bible, but when it comes to that one chapter, there's no theology there. That's politics.
Yeah. Good point. Toby?
One of the connect these two things a little bit too is one of the glorious things about living in America is that the people who wrote our Constitution, our founding fathers, were by a vast majority Bible believing Christians, and had, like, you know, 5,000 years of cautionary tales of tyrants, dictators, mobs, anarchy, and interestingly enough, in the early American period, even the word democracy was a bad word. Nobody wanted a democracy. The Greeks had democracy and they destroyed themselves. And so you read the founding fathers and they say, how do we prevent democracy? Because that'll turn into anarchy, and anarchy will probably devolve actually into dictators. I mean, what happened after the French Revolution? Napoleon Bonaparte, right? I mean, that's what you get. You get dictators. And so what they did was they established a constitution with what we call checks and balances. And the whole checks and balances system is this like intricate interweave basically of many, many people with responsibilities to check other people, trying to flatten out so that there wasn't one branch, one person, or one class of people that had power. And the thing to get to your point, Jeff and Luke, is that the is that this is based on a biblical presupposition called original sin.
Right.
People are sinners, which means that we shouldn't trust them, and we shouldn't trust them with power. And so, they took Lord Acton's famous credo pretty seriously, that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Yep. And so the constitutional setup where you've got, three branches of government checking and balancing each other, but even within those branches, you've got a multitude of people. You have, different branches in the legislature. You've got the House, you've got the Senate. You've got terms where, people can, those can check and vote them out of office. You have a different sets of terms. You have multiple courts, multiple levels of courts. But even within the Constitution, the assumption is that you have state governments. So, for example, talking about this whole election thing, state governments are allowed to set up their voting, how they're going to select their electors the way they want to. And that is a check on the power of the federal government. But if the state legislatures are getting corrupt because they're sinners too, you have a check at the Supreme Court level, like you were just talking about. But all of this is based, it's all biblical. It's all based on the Bible. It's all based on the idea that people are sinners and they need accountability on every single side. And that brings us even to then the role of the people and churches and businesses and denominations and other free associations. In the original vision of the framers of our country, is a reason why it starts off with we the people. America's not a democracy. America is a republic, and a republic is a mixed government, meaning we want to mix power all over the place in order that all powers might be checked. And so we're not a democracy. That's not what we the people means. We are a republic, which means that the people have a role to play in checking unjust law. We have a role to play in voting. We have a role to play in suing against unjust laws. And we have a role to play in ignoring and disobeying wicked laws.
Yes. And this gets us to an important point. I think that it's good for us all to understand this, and that is that when the Christian church was birthed, when Pentecost happens, and the Holy Spirit is poured out, and they start going out and evangelizing all over the empire, it's important for us to recognize that the proclamation, Jesus is Lord, was treasonous. So early on, the early Christians, when the church is moving throughout history, it's the very beginnings of the gospel going all over the world to every creature under heaven, all that is going on. The Christian church, when they are announcing Jesus is Lord, they are defying Caesar Kurios, that Caesar is Lord. And so the early Christian church is actually engaging in a treasonous act, according to some, on the other side, in terms of you are defying or trying to subvert state power. You are an enemy of the state. And it's interesting that in the beginning of this episode, I read Acts 17, the Apostle Peter and the early apostles and Christians were being accused in Acts 17 of saying there's another king, this Jesus, like one Jesus. They're saying there's another. They go clean contrary against the decrees of Caesar, and they're saying there's another king, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Well, that was the accusation against the early church. You know, we talk about Christian resistance to tyranny as a virtue. You see it modeled in the book of Acts. They were gracious, they were humble, and yet they were bold.
Yeah.
And they were saying things about the world and Jesus and his kingship that put him at odds with the pagan state of the day. And it was a profession, Caesar is Lord, that got them killed. Why? Because Jesus is Lord. Right. Caesar is Lord is what you must say in Rome. Little pinch of incense to the emperor. He's the Son of God. He's God to them, and he's the ultimate. So you say Caesar is Lord. So understand that when we talk about the beginnings of the Christian church, even down to this day, Christianity in its purest form, in its truest form, in its honest form, will always be seen as an enemy of an ungodly mm-hmm. and tyrannical state. It will. Because, why? Because that government says it's the ultimate. And a Christian recognizes, no, you're not the ultimate. There is an ultimate above you, and you're supposed to, Romans 13, be God's deacon, God's servant. The servant of not some strange God, but the only God. Romans 13 is prescriptive. It's not descriptive of what government always does. It's prescriptive of what government's supposed to do under God as his servant. But I think it's important for us to recognize, and I'll just toss out some examples. I did it this past Sunday. There are plenty of examples in Scripture of God's people showing fear of God above fear of man and resisting evil, sinful things that violate love for God and love for neighbor. Exodus chapter 1, you've got the women who resist the decree of Pharaoh to kill all the young boys, and they lie mm-hmm. to the Pharaoh. They engage in some righteous deception because they were trying to preserve human life, and God said that they feared God, so they were blessed. You have Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You've got them refusing to bow to this statue that represents God, the state. Bow to it. They refused and said, live or die. We're not going to bow. And God rescues them from the fiery furnace. And of course, you got Daniel chapter 6 or 7, 6, I believe, where Daniel is openly defying the orders by popping those windows open and saying those prayers and getting thrown into the lion's den. Now, question, were they sinning against God because they defied the government? They were glorifying God by defying the government. And I think every apostle that had their skin taken off their body or who was flayed or burned in an oven or decapitated for saying Jesus is Lord, they were glorifying God as an enemy of the state because they recognized that there is a higher authority, a different king, one Jesus. So,
well, I think this, just to add on to what you're saying, I think there's an important parallel between Rome and the early Christians and our nation now, because the early Christians, they weren't, I grew up thinking, like, well, the Christians were persecuted because they wanted to worship Jesus, right? That's not why they were persecuted. They were persecuted because they wouldn't say Caesar is king, right? And, I mean, Rome actually, this is where there's an important parallel. Rome actually, like, bragged about the number of religions. Like, look at us. Look at all the different religions we have. Basically, all the, like, inclusive religions, right? But if you're a non-inclusive religion, then you're going to be persecuted. It's the same thing we have now.
Yeah.
Look at our nation now. Like, they're welcoming, they're including everyone except the Christians because they won't bow down to Caesar.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
And there's new, you know, there's with this new religion, state religion, right on schedule, we have certain ways of signaling the fact that you are part of that mm-hmm. civil religion. Most notably making sure that you have a woke burqa on your face because that's the religion. And if you don't bow down to their high priests that are, you know, their scientific studies or whatever that they made up, ignoring real science for decades, you know, but it's totally a religion. It's a state religion. It's a civil religion. But that's why we're increasingly marginalized.
Can we just call that a woka?
A woka. That's
go
nice.
With that? Yeah, we're just gonna go with
that. That's nice.
Sure.
Let's end on this note. I want to show you this in terms of just. Remember last week we played that clip. This was Cynthia Johnson. Woo! She was the one. She's fiery.
Fiery is not the word I'm using.
Yeah.
She's a child. That's the word.
Okay, there you go. Yes. Yeah. Okay, I used the wrong word. I was thinking of Melissa, who was fiery.
Yeah.
She was the blonde. Oh,
yeah. The blonde chick. The blonde bird's nest.
Yeah. That was, yeah, she was excellent.
Cynthia reminds me of my children when I'm disciplining them.
Yeah. So this was the legislator in Michigan.
Yes, she was a state rep in Michigan.
State rep in Michigan, who was giving everybody such a hard time. Wasn't making a whole lot of sense, but she's in a lot of trouble right now because she did a Facebook Live video where she offered a threat, and I'm going to let you guys hear it.
So this is just a warning to you Trumpers. Be careful. Walk lightly. We ain't playing with you. Enough of the shenanigans. Enough is enough. And for those of you who are soldiers, you know how to do it. Do it right. Be in order. Make them pay. I love y'all.
Woo! Oh,
wow.
Can you imagine now? Imagine Luke or Toby or Jeff Durbin looking into a camera and saying, "All my soldiers, you know what to do. Make them pay." I would have federal agencies.
So many people would be like, "I knew it."
Yes,
I knew it.
He's not even dog whistling anymore. It's just straight up in your face. Like, we'd have federal agencies like at our doorstep asking us questions. What did you mean about that? You know, all that sort of stuff. But you know, that's what she said, and so she's in a lot of trouble. She was taken off of some committees for that one.
Yeah, that committee. But that's it. Like that, she should be fired.
Yeah,
for that,
for behaving in
but
that manner.
But at least they removed her from the. I mean, that's one of the more bold moves some of these legislators have done in the last month is actually like do something like that. They just need to go further than that. So.
Yeah, and I wanted to play that just to show like the tension underneath all of this right now is actually pretty intense. Now, I'm not an alarmist. Everybody knows I'm post-millennial. I believe that Jesus wins the entire world before he returns, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But, you know, it doesn't mean there's not going to be suffering and struggling on the way, and you can't ignore the difficulties that are in front of us and that are present realities. And I feel like right now we're sitting on a powder keg in many, many ways. And I think things can be pretty intense. And so with that, nobody wants to suffer, but I just want to say what a great opportunity to preach the truth.
Mm-hmm.
What a great opportunity to preach the truth. When you see secularism and atheism and naturalism and humanism falling face down into the dirt with its pants around its ankles, it's a good opportunity to point it out and say, hey, see, it failed. Like atheism and secularism, humanism sucks. It doesn't work. It's a broken worldview. Marxism, all this stuff, it won't work. It destroys people. It hates neighbor. It does all of this to wreck humanity. It's a good opportunity to bring the message of the truth into the world. There's another king, Jesus,
yep.
And he is the Prince of Peace, and he is the Savior, and he is the Righteous One, and he is the one that took away our guilt and our shame, all the condemnation. He is the one that received the justice due to all of us into himself, and he is risen again from the dead. He conquered our greatest enemy. You're so scared of dying, and he conquered our greatest enemy, death. And there's no fear of death for Christians anymore because we know the one who conquered death, who saved us, who's raised us from death to life. We have such a great message, and we have a message that's so much better than theirs, honestly. You'll forgive me for using the word, the modern vernacular. It sucks. Their worldview sucks. I mean, telling people, like, wouldn't it be great to get rid of private property and nobody owns everything? No! That's stupid. No, it wouldn't be great to get rid of private property and no one owns anything anymore.
It's awful.
What are you talking about? I love how people try to sell it. Have you seen those videos where they try to sell it? It's so crazy. They're like, it'd be great to live in a world where there's no private property, no one owns anything. I'm like, that sounds like the worst thing ever.
It sounds like somebody who's talking that doesn't know what they're talking about.
Exactly.
Honestly. It sounds like someone that lives in a nation that has amassed most of the wealth on the entire planet.
Right,
honestly.
Exactly. Or the person saying it is behind cameras developed by people who didn't share their worldview. It's being streamed around the world right now by people who developed it through private property and industry and enterprise and entrepreneurship, all that stuff. So all that stuff. We have a worldview that says you value all human lives. All of them. All of them have dignity. all of them worthy of your value, respect, all of them the image of God. Private property is upheld in God's law. Even charity is upheld in God's law. But mm-hmm. that's an individual motivated thing, not something that's forced by the state. You know, God in His law treasures it, liberty. Freedom,
yeah, absolutely.
Equal weights and measures, all of that. This is such a beautiful worldview. Here's the thing. Our worldview is better. It is better. It causes, it brings flourishing and joy and delight and celebration in the world. Their worldview is awful. It is so bad and so contradictory. And so with that, I wanted to point something else out, and that's that Pastor Toby has a book out right now. I think it'd be great for us all to get a copy of this book to make sure that we read this, because it is beautiful, because it tells a better story. Again, a better worldview than theirs. They're telling us, like, genders don't matter, it's fluid, you can be what you want, you can live how you feel for the moment. I mean, each day you can change your gender, it's fine. And you can have as many sexual partners as you want and experiment and do all those things. And marriage, what is marriage anyways, but an antiquated and dated, you know, institution. And, you know, kids, having lots of kids, how about one child? How about one child per family?
Well, the same people that want, like, a universal income and no private property, they also think you should be able to kill kids if you can't give that kid the best life and afford to send them to college. And
there's the contradiction. And, like, yeah.
Well, and that's what I think what you see is you see this court. So you have, like, an actual legal court, which is how we establish much of the United States. And then you have what we discovered, I think, around the time of the Me Too movement, which is that you have the court of public opinion. And depending on how much, like, importance you place on the court of public opinion, you can actually get a lot of things done outside of the law. And I honestly think there are a lot of people my age, Christians included, that have no regard for biblical law, American law, but they have high regard for the court of public opinion. Mm-hmm. And that's the opinion that happens on opinions that happen on social media.
Yeah.
And then the court of public opinion is run by people who say that, you know, don't, well, it's all about power. It's all about, it's not about love. The Christian does it under the guise of love, but it's actually that they want power and respect. And it's just, it's totally mixed up. It's bad.
Broken. So let's fix that brokenness with a good book. Pastor Toby, your new book, No Mere Mortals.
Yeah. Marriage for People Who Will Live Forever, is the subtitle. And, it's a great segue from what we've been talking about. I was thinking as you were finishing up that last segment there, Jeff, that, the thing that Christians need to remember is that, tyranny actually begins in the human heart. Tyranny begins in every one of our hearts. And so one of the things, even I think it's absolutely helpful just to, you know, contrast and compare those two worldviews. But don't forget that, you know, when you have wrath welling up in your heart, when you have vengeance welling up in your heart, when you have bitterness welling up in your heart, you know, that is tyranny. That is government overreach. The foundational government is self-government, and the fruit of the Spirit name for that is self-control. Mm. It's using your life, your heart, your thoughts, your words, all that you are, in service to God, to bless your neighbor. That's self-control. That's self-government. But there's a little tyrant, little demon tyrant in every human heart, that the Bible says you have to kill, you have to destroy. And this comes out in everyday life. How you talk to your wife. Are you, you know, what's coming out? Is it gracious words? Is it kind words? Are you leading her, graciously, or are you barking commands? Are you complaining? Are you fussing? Well, you're just a little tyrant. And there are plenty of people in the church, people who know the gospel, people who are going to go to heaven when they die, who still have a lot of that flesh that little tyrant demon in their heart, that is, it comes out. And it comes out typically in those that we live with. Absolutely, I think one of the things that we have to recover and the Christian church has to recover is a robust view of marriage and family. This is one of the foundational governments. Building off of self-government is family government. And so the book is 19 chapters on really just what the Bible says about the basics of what it means to be a husband, a wife, what marriage is. I've been marinating in Pastor Doug Wilson's teaching for years and years, and so this is a little bit of my own spin on what I've learned from him. This is a college town, so we have a lot of weddings up here. I do premarital counseling. We have wedding season here in Moscow, and I've done 50, 60 weddings or something, and over the last 10 or 12 years, and every time I usually do two or three premarital counseling sessions with couples. This is built out of that, and plus just being a pastor for the last 12, 15 years, working with couples through challenges, and then just sort of looking at the world around us, and realizing, man, we're lost, and so much creeps into the Christian church, even in conservative Christian churches where people still believe, well, yeah, I know Ephesians 5 and 1 Peter 3, you know, the husband is the head and the wife submits and he loves. And we've lost sight of what the family is even for. Mm-hmm. And so this goes back to Joy's point earlier about all the gender confusion. When it doesn't matter what a man is, then why does it matter if you're a man or a woman? If it doesn't matter what a woman is, it doesn't really matter. And the church has led the way in this. I mean, we're the ones that started ordaining women 100 years ago, and now we're a bunch of mainline denominations ordaining homosexuals. But we have led the way. We have not been salt and light. We have not killed the flesh in our hearts, and we have not taken up the responsibility that liberty is. And that's the thing that a lot of Christians don't understand, is that liberty, freedom, is responsibility. It's the responsibility to serve others under the blessing of God, to fulfill your responsibility as a husband, as a father, as a wife, as a mother, and as a son, as a daughter. Those responsibilities, that's what your freedom is for. And when you take those responsibilities seriously, then you need the government to get out of your way, because you got work to do. But when you don't take those responsibilities seriously, then you're not thinking about providing for your family. You're not thinking about providing a Christian education. You're glad for the government to provide schools for your kids.
Right.
You're glad for the government to be the parents of your kids. You're glad for the government to take care of the health care and the welfare of your family. What is that doing? Well, every time you give it to the state, you're giving away your freedom, because you've given away your responsibility. But freedom is actually heavy. Freedom is actually full of responsibility. You're free then to use that, not to serve your flesh, not to look at porn, not to smoke pot, not to get drunk, not to bark orders. You're free to serve. You're free to love. You're free to obey God. And when you're free, and when you do that, it's a glorious thing. A family can be, my family can be such a blessing. It's possible to be in great fellowship with your spouse. It's possible to not have sin, not have grievances or bitterness between you. It's possible to be in great fellowship, and it's possible to be in such great fellowship that it's such a joy to bring piles and piles of kids into that fellowship with you.
Amen.
And so this is the last thing I'll just say is this, is the title comes from C.S. Lewis. He's got a little sermon he gave called Weight of Glory, in which he's just talking about the fact that people made in the image of God bear this eternal image, and we are all, everyone on the planet is on their way to either everlasting splendor or everlasting horror. That's heaven and hell. But either way, people will live forever. They will live forever either in glory, or they will live forever in complete horror. And the point he makes is that we're all practicing for that right now. We're all building that out right now. And we're either building immortality in under God's blessing, or we're building bitterness and resentment and despair that will fade into, you know, just everlasting horror. But the stakes are high. And the family is where people are made, not just in biological conception, but people are being made all day long in how we serve one another, love one another, our laughter together, our eating together, hugs, kisses, forgiveness, spanks, all of it is the way people are being made, and they're people who will live forever. And so the stakes are high. But under the blessing of God and in the gospel, it's an enormous blessing. Jesus came to restore the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. He bore the curse of our sin in order to make everything new. And so there you go. No mere mortals. No mere mortals. I can't say it. marriage for people who will live forever. Get your copy. Hope it's a blessing.
Where? Canon Press, right?
Canon Press. You can also go to nomeremarriage.com and you can order it directly there. There's also a little study guide booklet for couples to go through, nomeremarriage.com or at Canon Press.
All right. Man. Pastor Toby, love you, brother.
That was amazing, brother.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Look forward to seeing you soon, man. Hopefully we can get to Moscow and you can actually let Bear eat with you.
I might do that, Jeff. Maybe. We'll see.
Double the food.
That's right. You have to introduce him to some of that Mississippi mud flap or whatever that flavor's called. All right, Toby. Thanks, brother.
Thank you.
God bless you, man. All right, guys. That was the show for today. But before you leave, we have an announcement, special announcement. So don't depart just yet because something important is coming up and we need you to come and hang out with us. Would you like to come to Arizona to hang out with the bear, the ninja, and the girl?
And have some Mississippi mud flap?
Mississippi mud flap for everybody. You know, I will.
You sure that?
I will get a ton of it's not even called Mississippi mud flap.
It's absolutely not called that.
No.
It's Mississippi mud pie.
No. It's not even that. I'm totally wrong. Is it called Tillamook?
Yeah.
Hold on. We're going to figure this out, and then I'm going to tell everybody what flavors. Here we go. I'll tell you the flavor. Okay, here we go. It's so good. And I feel guilty right now sharing it with you because now you're going to struggle with my struggles where I can work out, but there's about 5 pounds that I keep putting back on because I eat the entire gallon. It's Tillamook Mudslide.
I don't even know where Mississippi
Tillamook
came from.
I call it Mississippi Mudflaps. I don't know why.
That's in my head.
Yeah, I don't know what it was.
Well, because there is such a thing as Mississippi Mud Pie.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's probably where you got.
Right now there is a raven sitting up there with a mullet looking at you indignantly.
Indignantly.
He's got a grudge right now.
Just so much grudge going on.
Yeah, the latest study show that ravens experience indignance.
Towards, yes. All right, so everybody listen up, guys. This is really important. I really meant that. I'd love to come out. I'd love to have you come out here and meet us, shake our hands, and come and join us while we preach the gospel. We demand justice for the preborn. We have a rally January 22nd, 2021 at Arizona State Capitol at the Rose Garden. Hopefully, we don't even have space for it because we have just thousands deep. But we're going to have a 10 a.m. Walt Blackman, Representative Walt Blackman, is putting in a bill to criminalize abortion in Arizona. That is going to be his press conference, so we want to make big noise about that, where he's going to announce there with the press conference the bill to criminalize and abolish abortion in Arizona, so praise God for that. 11 a.m. is going to be our rally for End Abortion Now. Want to encourage everybody, look, if you're anywhere in Arizona, come and meet us. Come and shake our hands. Let's go pray together. Let's go rejoice together, and let's proclaim the truth in this. But if you're, I don't care where you're at in the United States, come fly out. Come fly out. Make a thing of it. Come out. Meet us. Come join us as we prayerfully ask God to save the children in our state, but also celebrate this big moment where we have a bill to abolish abortion in the state of Arizona. We have so much happening this next year. Christians all over the country are doing the same things in so many different states, but it's happening now. Bills to criminalize abortion. January 22nd.
13 states now that are wanting 13, to introduce bills.
Yeah. 13 states. Praise God. So join us. We got to make noise about it. We got to bring the truth into the public square. That's what we need. I don't want to just have like a rah-rah rally. Like, hey, come just go rah-rah. Like, you know, make noise and then disappear. I want us to be Christians bringing the truth into the public square. And in this case, at the state capitol of Arizona, very, very important bill. Look, we just weren't having these conversations 10 years ago. We weren't. Bills to criminalize abortion. EndAbortionNow.com. All that God has done is raised up churches who are being consistent. The minds are changing. We have friends in other states all over the country that have been working hard on this for a long time. They have, like Joseph Silk, his stuff was happening in Oklahoma. That got people on their feet in a better way. And now it's happening. Come and join us. Come and meet me. I want to meet you. Come January 22nd, 11 a.m. is the rally, Arizona State Capitol. What's the website they can go to right now?
Rallyforlifeaz.com.
Rallyforlifeaz.com. Go there. They can sign up to get info there.
There isn't really anything to sign. I mean, they can get connected with the End Abortion Now.
There's
there,
the email through there, right?
Yeah.
So you can go in there, put your email. Maybe we can give you updates through there. Rally for Life AZ is the site that's built specifically just for the rally that's happening January 22nd, Arizona State Capitol.
Sorry, that reminds me. What you're talking about is we did just link the online petition to that page.
Okay.
So you can actually go and sign the petition for this bill that will help us as well. So.
And please join us. Your prayers are so important. We need you to keep praying for us. We need your prayers, but we also need you to give. Give towards the work of End Abortion Now for 2021. God has done incredible things this last year through End Abortion Now. It is, it's jarring at times to think about how many babies were saved today. What if we didn't do this? Yeah. Like, these lives wouldn't be saved today. Look what God has done. This is now happening in other states where they're criminalizing abortion, working on bills for this. I mean, God's doing huge things. We have a $500,000 matching donation. We need you to partner with us to make the whole match happen so we can do even more in 2021. We are at a place right now where the legs are up and it's time to start running, because we have the ability to do so now with all these churches and now with legislators working with us to establish justice. Redeem2020.com is where you can go to give towards the drive for End Abortion Now. Redeem2020.com. Please go give. $500,000 matching donation. Help us to match that amount of money. And of course, if your church is not signed up yet, go to endabortionnow.com. Sign up. Get your free resources. We had a church that just recently signed up, and yesterday they shared they had their first save. I remember our first save. It was a big deal. And it always motivates you to, oh, this works. I'm going to keep going. So endabortionnow.com is where you go to sign up. Redeem2020 is where you go to partner with us and give. And Rally for Life AZ is where you go to get connected for the rally. January 22nd, 11 a.m. is the rally, 10 a.m. is the press conference.
And just for the record, the press conference is not open to the public. That'll be indoors.
Yeah. Yeah. So 11 a.m. is the actual start of the rally. So come hang out with us wherever you're in the country. Make a thing of it. Drive out here. Hang out with us. Come spend a day with us. And let's go bring the truth into public square. That's Joy the Girl.
Yeah.
If you guys haven't seen Sheologians or listened to it yet, Sheologians, it's available through ApologiaStudios.com. That's Luke the Bear.
Peace out.
And I'm Jeff the Ninja. We'll catch you next week right here on Apologia Radio.